about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Verses 1 through 10, Psalm 27. Lord, we thank you for your word and thank you for the many ways your word impacts us, blesses us, empowers us, and strengthens us and counsels us every single day. Lord, with every passing day, help us more and more as your people to fall in love with your word, to grow in our understanding of the need to stay in your word, to live in your word, to walk in it each and every day. We thank you for the wonderful gift it is to us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Once again, I want to remind you, we're broadcasting from the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove near Asheville, North Carolina. And as we start today, our first guest is Kay Horner, who is Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance. And Kay, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Joseph. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you on with us. And I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them about what Awakening America Alliance is about and the work you're involved in at this time.
Well, the Awakening America Alliance is a ministry that serves kingdom initiatives for awakening and missional living. And in alignment with your radio program, our first primary focus is United Prevailing Prayer. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was with his disciples for all that time, doing miracles and multiplying the bread and the fishes and all of the mighty things that he did, raising the dead, what was the one thing they asked him to do? They said, teach us to pray.
Mm, that's right.
So there was obviously something about his life that spoke to them, and they didn't say, God, show us how you did that thing with the fish and the bread, or Lord, do you think you might could just give me a little insight on that walking on the water thing. Mm-hmm. No, they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray?
Because mm-hmm.
they knew foundational for all that he did was that he always talked to the Father. Mm-hmm. And what the Father said, he did. And what the Father said, he said. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to be in alignment. They had observed his life enough that when he would rise up early in the morning and slip away to pray, or when he would go out on the mountainside and send them over to the other side of the sea, and he was up praying, mm-hmm. And interceding, I believe, even for them in the midst of their storms. So we believe that when God's people come together in united prevailing prayer, that that's a critical component and has been evident in all of the great awakenings that we've experienced in the nation. And the second mm-hmm. component that we focus upon is pastor renewal. And we believe that pastors who are renewed spiritually and are strong and whole in their personal walk with God and in their marriages, we help to provide marriage retreats and those kind of things for pastors and their spouses. Mm-hmm. Whenever they are walking in completeness and are strong and spiritually renewed, then they are able to mm-hmm. preach into the issues of the day. Mm-hmm. And in any great awakening, you'll see that the pastors were willing to stand in their pulpits and address the issues of the day. Just, you know, as in the second great awakening, when they were willing to address the issue of slavery, which mm-hmm. was a socially charged current topic of the day or issue of the day. Right. And even now, as you and I were talking earlier, pastors who are spiritually renewed and strong in their walk with the Lord, they're not afraid to look at their congregations and recognize that children are a gift from the Lord and that they're our heritage. And to take the life of our unborn children would be against God's directions and His design for our lives and our nation. And so we provide what we call Preach to Engage resources that help congregations and pastors to encourage their congregations to live a prayer, care, share lifestyle. In other words, church isn't something we just do on Sunday, but it's how we live our lives in caring for our neighbors and sharing the gospel outside the walls of the church. Then you come together on Sunday, you celebrate what God's been doing all week. And that helps bring about church revitalization, which is the fourth component of what we focus upon. And that is churches that are disciples making disciples. So when you have a church that's committed to united prevailing prayer, and we believe in praying across the denominational lines and barriers, and we'll talk about that in a minute with the National Day of Prayer that's coming up this next week. And also when the pastors are spiritually encouraged and renewed and whole, and they're preaching into the issues of the day, that their congregations are out praying and caring and sharing in their communities, then you're going to have disciples who are making disciples. So that's kind of the Awakening America Alliance in a nutshell. We bring national leaders together for prayer and strategic planning for revival and awakening initiatives in our nation. And all of the resources that we provide are free. Our Preach to Engage resources, if you go to the website preach2engage.com, then you can get the free sermon materials, posters, bulletin inserts, video clips, those kind of things.
So pastors or churches that are listening, they can just go to your website. And get that information. Okay, they repeat the website one more time.
Well, they can go to Awakening America. That's Awakening with an ING, awakeningamerica.us. And from there, you can click on the resources. You can find out about the marriage retreats and things that are available that are also underwritten. All that you need to do is just provide your transportation there, and you can come and be a part of those. So that's what we're doing with the Awakening America Alliance. And my primary engagement is with the prayer movement, the prayer component, as well as with helping with the Preach to Engage resources. We have a team in Austin, Texas, who helps us. And so we're just really excited that we get to serve together in the kingdom and look where God's working and join Him in what He's doing.
Amen. Amen. Now, the National Day of Prayer, tell us about that and tell us about how people can plug into that.
The National Day of Prayer is actually a law in our nation. It was begun first. Abraham Lincoln declared a National Day of Prayer and Repentance. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the number of years, but it's been many, many years ago that it was actually signed into law that the first Thursday of May is to be a day of national prayer. And seeking after the Lord. And last year we had about 45,000 prayer points around the nation. And
people
even
gathering to have
people gathering to have a time of prayer and to pray for America. And even in the nation of Australia, they are beginning on April 30th, which was the first day that Abraham Lincoln declared it a day of prayer. And they are having a time of fasting and prayer for from April 30th to May 4th, which is the first Thursday of May this year, and praying for America. Isn't that powerful to know that other countries of the world are praying for us? This year,
we can use all the prayer we can get.
Amen. This year, our theme is For Your Great Name's Sake. Ann Graham Lotz. It's interesting. We're here at the Billy Graham Training Center, the Cove, and Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, is now the national chairperson. She succeeded Shirley Dobson, who had served for more than 25 years last year. And so Ann has chosen Daniel 9 and 19 as our theme verse for National Day of Prayer this year. And it is, For Your Great Name's Sake, Lord, would you hear or would you listen? Would you forgive and would you heal our land? It's very interesting, and I'm talking so much, you may have to interrupt me here.
No, go right ahead. people that are listening that want to get involved with it, whether their church is doing something or not, what would you encourage them to do?
If they will go to nationaldayofprayer.org, nationaldayofprayer.org. There is a link on there that says if you want to be involved or if you want to volunteer, you can also check on nationaldayofprayer.org to see if there's a prayer gathering in your area. You can put in your zip code and you can connect to see if there's a prayer gathering in your area. If there's not, you can fill out an application and apply. It's not too late. We've had areas where they started 2 weeks out and had as many as 75 or 100 people come together for prayer. I remember just a couple of years ago in our own community, we learned that the church that had typically been doing National Day of Prayer was not going to do it. And in 2 weeks' time, our team got together, our Quiet America team, and we had pastors and others because we'd been praying together in the city. And we had about 300 people that came together for our prayer event. So there will be people, and you just have to know you're not by yourself.
That's right.
There's thousands and thousands of other people around the nation that are going to be praying together. And I think the scripture says something about if one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000, imagine what thousands and thousands of people can do in the nation of America when we come together in united, prevailing prayer.
The Word of God tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Yes.
So when lots of men and women that love the Lord get together, God can do great things through that.
And I think it's really interesting that Anne chose this Daniel 9 chapter, which is a powerful prayer that Daniel, who had been taken as a young man into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and in the Babylonian Empire, and yet he hadn't forgotten his roots, he hadn't forgotten his heritage. He was the one who did what? He prayed three times a day, even at the risk of being thrown into the den of lions. He was still going to pray to the Lord, and I'm not sure all of us would be so committed today.
That's right. Okay, I tell you what, we only have a couple minutes left in the segment, but would you take time to pray for our listeners that they would really grasp the need to both get involved with the National Day of Prayer, but to really embark upon the journey of becoming a prayer warrior for the kingdom of God, period, beyond the National Day of Prayer as well.
Well, Father, and we call you our Father because we walk in personal relationship with you because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to leave his throne in heaven to come and robe himself in human flesh, and being willing to serve and live as a man and as a servant, he became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. And by his death and the resurrection, Lord, we are able now to come into personal, intimate relationship with you. So we thank you for that. What a privilege it is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit invite us into communion and conversation with you. And Lord, we thank you that you are moving on the hearts of the people across this nation, and you are stirring their hearts to know you and to experience you in a greater way. So I thank you for the National Day of Prayer, which is an opportunity that we can come together outside of our church walls and in a public forum and say to our communities and to our cities and to our nation that there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer, and his people are coming together in love and in unity to honor him and to seek his face and ask, oh Lord, would you hear, would you forgive, and would you heal the nation of America? Heal us from the strife and the division. Heal us, oh Lord, from the shedding of the innocent blood of our children. Heal us from the deception and the fear and the anxiety. God, heal our economy. Heal our political arena. Father, in Daniel, when he was praying, it was a time of national transition and new leadership in the nation where he was being held captive. And he began to pray. So I ask you, Lord, to raise people up in the public forum who will pray and ask you to hear, to forgive, and to heal our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kay, for being with us today. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare, and then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month, they don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans, and they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
It's no wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
Almost all of us in the United States have been blessed financially, at least compared to the rest of the world. When my family and I went to South Africa, we saw that distinction firsthand. Corrugated cardboard homes, old discarded tires for walls, and streams of dirty water running through the shanty towns. The question then becomes, what will we do with those blessings God has given us? We should use our money to share with those in need. God isn't keeping track of the amount of money you give. He's more concerned about your heart and your willingness to give in the first place. Do you need to rethink your giving plan?
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Kellyanne Conway is known for being Donald Trump's campaign manager and now a senior advisor to the president. She's passionately pro-life, but wasn't always so. Many people want to end abortion because they've seen or experienced the other side of this life and death battle. In Kellyanne's case, the encounter dates back to her teenage years. She helped pay for the abortion of a friend. During an interview, she said, "Do I know anybody who ever got an abortion? Well, of course I do. I've driven them there. I've helped pay." If you've been involved in some way with a past abortion, first understand there's full forgiveness for a repentant heart. Then use your experience to help others. Those who've been there in some way have added credibility with those facing a crisis.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, and I've come to pour my praise on him, like all from Mary's
alabaster. You're listening to the music of C.C. Winans, the song Alabaster Box. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Once again, I want to remind you we're broadcasting from the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove near Asheville, North Carolina. And during this segment, we're privileged to have with us as our guest Pastor James Edwards Sr. He's the director of church plan and over the church planting catalyst division of his ministry. He's a former pastor now involved in providing leadership for this area of ministry in connection with the Southern Baptist Church.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor Edwards, for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Thank you for being a part of this segment of our broadcast. And as we start off, I'm going to ask, would you take a few more minutes just to further introduce our listeners to yourself, tell them a little bit more about yourself and the work you do with as the director of this division of your ministry?
First of all, I was a pastor. I pastored 25 years. And,
okay.
After pastoring 25 years, we helped kick off three new church plants in the city of Cleveland in areas where the city needed a new church to be started. Every time a new
church. You're from Cleveland, Ohio, then?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And areas where there are needed an evangelical church to be where there were none. And God was pressing on my heart to do more in that area of seeing more churches planted in the Cleveland area. I prayed about 2 years what God wanted me to do, and I stepped out and took a position as a church planter catalyst for Cleveland Hope. Cleveland Hope is an association of 63 churches in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And after that, God allowed them to bring me in as director of Cleveland Hope and still as a church planter catalyst in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. So being, of course, and everybody's not a church planter, but that's a part of what you've done, and you've helped
yes.
plant at least three different congregations.
From my church.
Okay.
But as a church planter catalyst, I helped catalyze about 17 different churches in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hmm. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. That must be exciting work to be a part of the starting of that many brand new congregations.
Yes. The exciting part is that more unchurched people come to Christ at the start of something new. Hmm. And that's just been my passion to see that happens. Hmm. And that's why I do this. But the other part, with working with other churches that's in our association, as a director, I help them stay on mission and help resources them that they may continue to be on mission reaching people for Christ.
Okay then. And also, you're here at the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference here at the Cove. And what brought you to this conference?
What brought me here is just one of these prayer warriors that love prayer. The only way Mount Calvary started was because of prayer. Mm-hmm. And people ask me, how were you so successful in this? And I tell them it was because of prayer that God took us through. We prayed about everything that we were doing. And now as the director of Cleveland Hope and working with 63 churches, I've been working with some prayer warriors in the city of Cleveland. One of them is Dale Prescura, one of the pastors, but we were going to put on a prayer conference, and we had been praying about something, and we decided to come here before we do anything like that. And I could see where God is leading us in doing this prayer conference, but we're more wanting it to be something where every church is involved in prayer with all church members, and something we need to be doing in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, you know, I want to ask you this kind of in the middle of what you're sharing. Like, Pastor Edwards, if a listener was here and they wanted to ask you this question and said, well, Pastor Edwards, I'm glad to hear about what you're doing. I work with a church, and I pray every day, but I don't see results. If they were to say that, what would you say? How would you respond to that question?
I would go to Isaiah 51. Mm-hmm. God's arms are not too short to save us. Mm-hmm. And God's ears are not too dull to hear us. Mm. But he comes back and tells us it's because of our sins and iniquity that we've been separated from him. Mm-hmm. And I see here in our churches that Cleveland is only 8% evangelical churches. So I see in our churches that the modern church, there's a lot of apathy. There's a lot of disunity, and there's a lot of iniquity going on. And God is calling us back to open up and confess and be for real or with him. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say.
Okay. Well, would you take time now before we go further just to pray for our listeners to really grasp the need to, number one, obviously to be saved, but once we're saved, to really become real followers, real disciples of Christ, and that's a part of what you're sharing, but to really become sincere as well as make prayer a priority of their life. Would you pray for our listeners to grow in their understanding of the need to do that?
Yes, I can. Okay. God, we're just asking that we as your believers, we as the body of Christ today, Lord,
thank you, Lord.
We're the one that the world is looking to. And Heavenly Father, we're asking you today, God, to let our hearts be repentant of things that we are not doing, that we're operating sometime out of our own flesh and not out of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us today, Lord, that we're not doing anything that's away from your will.
Thank you.
God, we're asking you these things today, Lord, so that our hearts and minds be as one towards you. So I'm asking you today, Lord, as we come to you, that you allow us as Christians to be able to share the gospel today, Lord, in everything that we do. When you tell us today, Lord, to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. And your God, your neighbors as yourself. God, we have so many people that are dying that just don't know Christ, and they're our neighbors.
Jesus.
And Lord, we're asking you that let each and every one of us see that the iniquity is in our heart, that we're not reaching the fatherless and the new widows, which is the unwed mothers in our cities.
Yes.
And they're being hurt all the time and hurting each other. But only the love of Jesus Christ can do that. Let's share it.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's share it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Edwards. Pastor Edwards, you've been here at the conference, and we've heard a number of very powerful messages, stirring messages, and some great, very gifted and anointed speakers as they've been sharing from their heart. Can you share how maybe one or more of the messages have touched you or spoken to your heart as a part of the conference here?
One thing that has broken my heart is that I think God put me in this position for a time as this, and I found myself going back to my old business practices and doing things without consulting God in prayer. And I had to confess of that, that I had done a lot of those types of things and done things that for image more so than seeking the Lord what was the right move for me to make.
Right.
So I had to confess those things. Those things were bringing me back to, I'm looking to have that closer and closer relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I can see how all of these things have kind of, I've been crying so much at this conference. Like, my wife would say, what are you crying for? I said, I don't know. But it was just the Lord just convicting me of everything that I needed to be convicted of to draw him closer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it sounds like the Lord's just working on you. The heart cry is the name of the conference.
Yes.
And, you know, the fact is God uses our tears to do so many things when our heart is broken for the things that break his heart as well. It's so important, as opposed to people that say they love Jesus and they see things that dishonor the Lord happening and they don't care. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Something's terribly, terribly wrong with that. But is there any other message or speaker that comes to mind that has maybe really especially impacted you or touched you or been of encouragement to you in view of the kind of work God has called you to at this point in time?
John Advent. Mm-hmm. And he talked about all the revivals that's going on all over the world and how you don't see that here in the United States, and there's revival going everywhere. Mm-hmm. And why can't we have revival just like everyone else? Mm-hmm. And God, there's still waking movement happening, but I would love to see it. Why not? Can't that revival and awakening happen in Cleveland, Ohio?
That's right.
That's my passion, to see that happens here in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I'm a catalyst for planting churches, but I want to be a catalyst for awakening or start a revival And it all starts with prayer.
Mm, that's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of, too, one of the issues, too, that I heard Brother Avant touch on is very basically believers just doing what God said to do, you know.
Obedience.
And too many times it's like sometimes you have believers that will obey here and there, but some major issues that are big in God's heart are neglected or just overlooked. And God wants us to have, God wants our whole heart and our whole life.
Yeah. You know?
So would you pray for listeners to really grasp that, you know, there are a lot, obviously, the listeners, most if not most of our listeners listening aren't here.
Mm-hmm.
But pray that God would touch their heart and prick their heart to see the need for us to really draw closer, to want to be more intimate with the Lord, and to have a heart for the things that are important to Him and go after them both in prayer and in obedience. Would you pray for that?
Yes. Heavenly Father God, we are asking you to reach our hearts,
yes,
to look
sir.
Out over each and every one of us, that we may be more obedient to you. In the book of James, it tells us that we must be doers of the word.
Thank you.
And not hearers only. We've heard it many times before, but it hasn't pricked our heart.
Thank you.
That God is calling us to be obedient to him and not just listen to a message.
Yes, Lord.
But to act on it. Not to just listen to his word or to be a studier of his word, but to be obedient to his word.
Yes, Lord.
God, we're asking you to convict every Christian's heart.
Thank you, Lord.
To understand that you've called them to love this world, that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he died for us.
Yes, Lord.
That we should be able to tell all of our friends, sisters, and brothers about Jesus Christ lives around
Jesus.
Us. We have family members dying and going to hell, and
yes,
God
Lord.
Wants us to tell them about Jesus.
Yes,
and the gospel of what he's done for them. And Lord, we're asking you to convict their hearts in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for every person listening today. And thank you, Lord, for the people that are a part of this conference here as well. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that can touch and speak to every single heart and speak in such a way that every single listener can really hear and understand your heart. Lord, touch us. Help us to repent of complacency that we've had about the things important to your heart, ways in which we've been called to share the gospel, yet too often have been passive or even indifferent, or ways in which you've called us to reach out to love people, to care about people for where they are, but too often your agenda has not been ours.
Yes.
Lord, touch us. Help us to repent of that. Forgive us, Lord, and Lord, fill us afresh with a heart of revival and renewal. Stir us to know, Lord, that you can do great things through any believer that has a heart for you and for your word and a heart that's willing to obey. And Lord, help us to know that you want all of us to be involved in the wonderful,
yes, Lord,
and the powerful work of the spread of the gospel. You want all of us to love people, to reach out to a world full of need, a world that's hurting and bleeding in so many ways. Help us to never, ever be content when you know you want your work to go forward, for your hand of love to reach out to show people what your love really looks like. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, for us to be a people that you can use as your vessels to accomplish your will, to share the gospel, to share the word, to help disciple people, to help them grow up, but also to show the whole world what your love really looks like when it's lived out by the church. Lord, for every single church that's listening, I pray that you'd pour out your spirit of revival and a fresh spirit of obedience to want to just do what you've already told us to do, just to know that you meant for all of us to passionately run after you and to run after your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Edwards, for being with us. God bless.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We'll be right back after this break.
My name's Sean. Drugs and alcohol got me kicked off the college football team. But at Teen Challenge, I finally found a way to kick my habit, and now I'm drug free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacy on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
1 Corinthians 2 says we have the mind of Christ. But Dr. Tony Evans says many of us don't understand how the Lord's mind and ours work together. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In his ear, every quarterback has a system designed for him to hear signals being given to him from the man upstairs in the booth. Because the man upstairs in the booth is seeing the whole field, and so he'll send a signal down into the receiver of the quarterback's ear because he's got a bigger picture than the quarterback has in order to steer him in the way he ought to go. So the receiver is designed to pick up somebody from who's sitting high and who's talking low in order for him to navigate all the things that are trying to defeat him on the field of play. Jesus is seated up there, but we're living down here. But there's a receiver that he wants to send to your mind. In other words, God will share his thoughts with you. He will take his thoughts, make them your thoughts, so that you think what he thought, and when you think what he thought, you can now do what you think, because the only reason you think it is because you thought it, and the only reason you thought it is because he sent it, and the only reason he sent it is because he could see it. And so he begins to shift and shape the mind so that you, in fact, begin to think differently, which is always the basis of how you operate. You only do what you do because you think what you think.
Learn how to get your thoughts pointed in a more heavenly direction. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 minutes with Tony.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today.
The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're here at the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. And our first guest for this segment is Pastor George Arant, and he's the pastor of Kinley Missionary Baptist Church. Thanks for joining us, Pastor George.
Thank you for allowing me to be here, Joseph.
Good to be with you, and had the privilege of meeting you over dinner a couple of nights ago, and grateful to have had a chance to meet you. Would you share with our listeners one or more ways the Lord has really spoken to your heart as a pastor and touched you through the conference?
Well, I think it's been very providential. A couple of years ago, I was here for the 2015 Heart Cry for Revival Conference, and God really picked me up spiritually and renewed my hope for revival and awakening. Mm-hmm. Went back to my town and my people and the people in the community were asking, what has happened to you? You're so excited. And you know what? The law of entropy has taken control again. And after 2 years, you know, I still am looking for a revival, praying for it, but I needed another pickup. And so this week I've gotten revived again.
That's good.
A new energy for what God wants me to do and carry back to my community. God has put on my heart for the last few years, but especially the last half a year, about racial reconciliation in our community, mm-hmm. and for an awakening in our churches, a revival in our churches, maybe an awakening too in our churches, but also for our community. And this week, I guess God has showed me that he is still taking off the layers of the cocoon that I live in. Mm-hmm. And exposing me more to the light. Mm-hmm. And I think how much I have really failed him, because I have I have just been too self-centered. And God, I just don't know how he puts up with me, except that I know through the word of God he loves me and he forgives me 70 times 7. So been really excited this week about the messages and how they have providentially been in place for me to take back to my community this hope. I've heard many people talking about the racial divides and how they're conquering those in their cities like Reno, Nevada,
right?
With Brent. And God blessed me yesterday and showed me that, you know, to live is Christ, and I know that, but I realized I wasn't living for Christ as much as I was living for other things. And you know, I've been in the ministry now 30-some years, been a Christian 40-some years, and, it's hurtful to realize how far, you know, at times I have failed God. But I am just so excited. I'm ready to go back and tell the world about Jesus. One thing that really got me, and I heard this a few years ago, was Sammy Tippett's taking a wheelbarrow with Bibles around the country. And I told my wife this morning, I called her on the phone, I said, get a wheelbarrow ready. I want to go out and pass out some Bibles and tell some people about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Pastor George, would you take time to pray for our listeners? You know, I think of this, that, you know, the Holy Spirit, he is revival.
Amen.
And he's working in each of our hearts. Would you pray for our listeners to allow the Spirit of God to bring revival to their lives wherever they might be right now?
Yes, be glad to. Father God, I just feel so inadequate to even pray myself. But I thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. You call us to pray. And I pray for anybody who's listening this morning, Father, or this afternoon, rather, that their hearts would be revived. Oh, Lord God, you would move in their lives. They would see the hand of God. Father, that you would convict all of us of
Thank
the
you,
sin in
Jesus.
Our lives and the things, Lord, that need to be rearranged and reprioritized.
Thank you,
I pray for healing for people today, healing of physical ailments, but also healing of their spiritual being,
Jesus.
Father. And Lord, that you would just call people to you. And Lord, that you would overcome the darkness. And Lord, we would just allow you to let your light shine through us. Oh, Lord God, we pray for everyone today. We pray for an awakening in people's lives who do not know you, and a revival in those who do know you, Father, that our nation might turn back to you. Thank you, Father, for all the things you're already doing. And we just give you praise. We worship you. Father, help us to love you even more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor George. Appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Brother Joseph.
And I need to go home and get me a wheelbarrow, too.
Amen.
So, praise
Amen.
The Lord. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're grateful to have also with us P. Douglas Small. He is the coordinator for the I'm going to let him say the full name because I'm not getting it right, but I'm grateful to have him with us. God bless, Brother Doug. How are you today?
Joseph, it's good to be with you.
All right. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Would you tell our listeners the exact title and tell them what you do?
Well, one of my titles is I'm the International Coordinator for Prayer Ministries for the Church of God, and my goal there is a prayer leader in 183 nations of the world. I also have a ministry called Project Pray, and we certify prayer trainers for cities to do schools of prayer, and various things. In fact, we have a training coming up here in Ridgecrest. And then I serve as the chairman of the Pentecostal Charismatic Churches of North America. It's a collage of about 35 denominations that are really on a goal to make prayer the driving force of their churches. And once in a while, I'm a father and a grandfather and a good husband. But
you find time to do that too. So, all right. Well, and you have two. You're the author of at least two books here.
Well, I think there are about 10 downstairs on the table. But I'll give them all to you if you'll come down. Okay. But I think those are the ones that are in print right now.
Okay, Simple Radical Prayer is the title of one, and the other one is The Prayer Closet. Would you tell us a little bit about these two books?
Sure. The Prayer Closet was written right about the time War Room came out. I was involved with the Kendrick Brothers in the promoting of that, and then the post-study, Bible study, War Room study, I was part of that video series. I think everybody should have a prayer closet. Mm-hmm. Nothing helped me more than... I've had a prayer closet in my home for probably 15 years. The Lord spoke to me and he said, I gave you this home, and there's nothing in it except that 20-pound Bible on the table in the front room that's dedicated to me. So I fashioned a prayer room. It's right off of a study that I have, and I try my best every morning that I'm there to make my way to that prayer room and just meet with God. You know, a prayer room calls you. Mm-hmm. If you go by the door several times and you haven't been in there in a day or two, it calls you. And the Bible says that the God who is in secret will reward you openly. It's a strange kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So people say, well, what is it like in your prayer closet? You know, angel feathers flying around the room, gold dust on the wall. No, God often hides in early morning prayer, but then he ambushes you during the day. The key to the ambush of the Holy Spirit during the day is the private. Ain't nothing happening in this prayer time in the morning when you got your cup of coffee and you are faithfully saying, you're opening the cosmic door on your side and you're saying, like an adjoining hotel room, you're saying, God, any time during this day that you want to talk to me, I'm yours all day long. And that presentation of yourself on the altar, as in the Old Testament tabernacle, that has a powerful message to heaven.
That's powerful. That's, you know, we could probably spend another 2 hours talking about your prayer closet. And now you're saying that when they did the War Room, that part of it was patterned after, or it relates to what you shared in your book.
Well, I wrote the book about the same time.
We waited
to release it. It's a teaching on the call to have a personal prayer room. It's stories about people who have personal prayer rooms and what they look like. And then it's the two premier models for prayer. The Old Testament's the tabernacle. Because people say, well, I don't know what to do when I pray. The New Testament, it's the prayer that Jesus taught us. But here's the deal, Joseph. The prayer closet has its roots in the huppah, the wedding canopy of the Old Testament.
Okay.
And so it's going to the huppah, getting your wedding garments on for the day and saying, Lord, come quickly today. And then him whispering to you saying, look for me, but here's the assignment that I have for you today. The huppah and the closet have their roots in the Garden of Eden. Eden was paradise. Inside Eden was a garden. It was the prayer garden of Adam and Eve. And the evil one invaded their prayer garden. And that's what he always does. He invades our prayer life. And the first place we get messed up is always in prayer. If you can keep your prayer garden straight, you can keep your prayer closet, your prayer life straight, everything else in life works out.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Well, if a person that's listening said, well, Brother Doug, I'm listening to you. Do I need a prayer closet in my house? How do you respond to them?
I'd say, you know, your house is kind of like a temple. You need, yes, I would say you need a dedicated space. Jesus said when you go into your closet. Now, it wasn't a closet explicitly dedicated to prayer. It was the only room in the New Testament that had a door, a physical door, and a lock on it. So he's saying, shut yourself in. Find a place, shut yourself in. My distant cousin Ella, who lived in her 90s, her prayer closet was her back porch, and she'd put a straight back chair there and pray. I have a friend of mine who he enclosed the attic, and it's a rambling prayer room, and it's a beautiful place. I have another lady who wrote to me, and she said I took the stairwell going down to the basement, and I cleaned it out and put a Bing bag in it. And it's my prayer room. I have another man who said, I bought me one of these Home Depot Lowe's little houses and put it out in the back, and it's my prayer room. There's something about a dedicated place that says to God, you belong in this house. This is where I meet with you. This is my chapel. This is a sacred space. I had a repairman that came to the house. I wasn't there. And Barbara, and we were chasing a plumbing line, and of course it went under the ceiling. And he stepped inside the prayer room, and he took a deep breath, and he said, what is this? And Barbara said, well, this is my husband's prayer closet.
Uh-huh. And he didn't know what to say.
He didn't know what to say.
Experience when he went in there.
Yeah.
Now, some people, their prayer closet is their vehicle, too.
Yeah, but here's the deal. If you pray on the run, you end up with a casual relationship with God. Intimacy demands privacy. And intimacy means shutting everything out. Here's the problem. See, worldliness is not just what we call worldliness. Worldliness is being so involved in this world you can't stop. You can't slow down. You're running all the time, and you pray on the run. Good prayer escapes this world.
You know, Doug, let me mention this. Our time is almost gone. Would you pray for our listeners to grasp the truths of what you're sharing? And I need to have you back soon, back on the broadcast by phone, because there's a lot behind what you're sharing. But would you pray for our listeners, whatever God has put on your heart, to pray for them?
So, Lord, I know that what you want time with us more than we want time with you.
Thank you,
Lord. You're not disappointed with us when we fail to pray. You're disappointed for us.
Thank you, Lord.
That is the means by which you bless us. We have not because we don't spend time in prayer. I pray for somebody listening right now that they'll start taking time, create sacred space in their home, and meet you every day.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a website you can share with our listeners? If
about a half a dozen.
Okay. Give us one or two.
Alive Publications is the site where you can buy our product and material. P. Douglas Small is another site. AmericaPray.net promotes prayer every January.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.